Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders and Vault Dwellers, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. This is our patron chat for, the month of April. We're a day late, but more importantly, the first one after the Fallout TV show has come out, and we are doing two different things. First of all, we're following up on the previous patron episode where we had all the patrons kind of vote on their predictions about the show, and we're going to find out who got the most predictions correct. And then also we have a bunch of new patrons joining us because of the success of the TV show and all the hype around Fallout, and we'll be chatting with everybody about some of their favorite moments from the TV show. So lots of great stuff to get to this week. I'm so glad that you are all here, and to welcome all of you in, I'm going to read everyone's names, and then on the count of three you can all unmute at the same time and make the sound of how it felt to actually watch Fallout as a TV show. So come up with something fun. Here we go. We've got Pumpkin King, Pluto, Darth Odin, Saint Jube. I've always messed up the way that sounds. Geub, right? Isn't that how it's pronounced? Teddy, the basic zombie dude, Willow, Nova, Void, Silas, and AK Spartan. Welcome, everybody. I'm so glad that you are all here. All right, on the count of three, get ready to unmute and make the sound that the Fallout TV show made you, the feeling that it gave you. Here we go. Three, two, one.
What? Oh my God.
Whoa.
What?
Why?
Nice. Well, welcome everybody. This is super fun. All right. So let's recap some of the predictions from last time. I'm going to go and just remind everybody about each of the questions we asked, and I'm going to point out what my interpretation of what actually is the correct answer is. And we can argue a little bit of that if you want, but I don't want to take too long on that. And then we'll get to who got the most of these right. So if you still haven't finished the show, warning, spoilers. The spoilers will absolutely happen here. It is a lore podcast, and so we're going to bring some things up. But here, let's go through some of the questions. The first question was, will Dogmeat die? Dogmeat doesn't die on the show, right? He gets injured, but he gets brought back. And as far as we know, at the end of the show, he's still alive. So she on the show is still alive. You were correct. Dogmeat, sometimes a boy, sometimes a girl, on the show is a girl. And everybody got that one right. So congratulations. Everybody got that one great. Yeah, everyone got a point for that one. The second one was, will the ghoul die? Also did not die. Most of you got that one right. A few people didn't. But that's okay. I'm not going to point out who didn't get it right, but you might remember if you voted yes or other. The next one was, what is Lucy looking for in the wasteland? Friends, what was Lucy looking for in the wasteland initially?
Her father.
That's right. And that was one of the possible answers I put on this list. So I'm going to have to give myself a pat on the back because I came up with that as maybe a possibility. And only one of you got this right. Do you remember who voted for this, for father? Does anybody remember?
Was it Lightning?
It was Spartan. AK Spartan got this one right. Congratulations. Everybody else missed this one, but Spartan predicted this one correctly. Congratulations, Spartan. All right, the next question was, will we find out what happens to Caesar's Legion or Kaiser's Legion? And there was a mix of answers. Some of you said yes, some of you said no. We don't find out what happens to Kaiser's Legion. It's not really brought up at all on the show. So those who said no got that one correct. The next question was, will there be any mention of the Enclave? Absolutely, there was mention of the Enclave, and everybody voted yes on that one. So everybody got points on that one. Number six was, will aliens show up or be referenced? And I don't think they were at all. Am I correct in saying that? I'm pretty sure there was no reference, not even a subtle little background image or, yeah, everyone's shaking their heads no. So some of you voted no. St. Geub, Lil Green, and Maverick and Nova all voted no on that one. So they got points for that. So congratulations. The next question was, will Lucy and or Maximus fight a Deathclaw? And I was with a lot of you guys. I was like, oh, this will probably happen, right? Almost, in fact, everybody except for Silas voted yes on this. So Silas is the only one who actually got points on this one. Congratulations. Then question eight was, who will be considered to be the main villain? And there were a variety of answers for this one. The Brotherhood of Steel, the NCR, the Legion, Supermutants / the Master, Raiders, Vault-Tec, the Wasteland, the Enclave, someone or something we haven't seen yet, or other. I would argue that Vault-Tec is the main villain in the show. Would you guys agree with that? I'm seeing some nodding. I think that there are different kinds of villains, but I think Vault-Tec is the primary villain in the first season of the show. And that means that Spartan got that one correct and everyone else missed that one. So Spartan, two that nobody else got correct voted for. The next question is, what will the critic score be on Metacritic? And this is from 0 to 100. We got a number of people voting in the 90s or 100, some people voting 80s, some people voting 70s. It is actually in the 70s. The critic score is in the 70s. And so that means Pumpkin, Spartan, Silas, and Maverick got points for that. And then the 10th question was, what would the user score be? And of course, that goes from 0 to 10. The user score is in the sevens. It's like 7.3 right now or something like that, which means that Maverick, Dean, and Nova got that one correct. So I didn't name everybody who got each thing correct, but this does add up. So don't worry, I'm getting there. The 11th question was, will you like the show? It was a bonus question. I'm not giving points for will you like the show. Chances are you're all going to predict whether you liked it or not and probably get it right. So that was kind of a gimme. All right. So are you ready for this? These are the final numbers. Here we go. In last place, we're going to go with the people who got the least amount correct. Germinator and Darth Odin. I'm sorry. You got the least amount correct. Bummer.
Is this golf score, though?
No, this is not golf. The next most, this would be those who tied for bronze. We'll say this is third place because a lot of you got the same number of points. So the least number correct is 3 of the 10 items correct. The next place, third place, is 4 items correct. Pumpkin and Dean and Nova got 4 correct. So you guys get bronze. And then tied for silver is everybody who got 5 correct. That includes St. Geub, Spartan, Lil Green, and Maverick got 5 correct. Silver, you guys got 2nd place. So congratulations. And then that means there's actually only one person who got 6 correct. Silas, congratulations. You got it over 50% predicted correct. Nice work.
Thank you. Thank you.
That is awesome. Great work. How does it feel? How does it feel to be the most prescient of the
patrons? I'd like to thank the Academy and also whoever I feel like thanking in the moment.
Okay.
It's humbling.
Well, congratulations, man. That's so cool. You actually got you predicted 6 of these. That's really, really cool. And overall, most of you did pretty well, like, to actually get some of these, because some of them had multiple answers, which means that it wasn't just a 50-50 chance to get each of these right. And yet, on average, everybody got 4 or 5 right. So that's actually really good, like, statistically speaking. So great work, everybody. That is awesome. So yeah, congratulations. I thought this was super fun. And anybody have any thoughts or any other things you want to share about this, the questions we did about predictions, about how things kind of went sideways a little bit? Anybody have any thoughts about this one? Nova, I see you unmuting.
Yeah, I will say that, like, a lot, I'm pretty sure that a lot of people were voting for what they were hoping for rather than what they really honestly thought was going to happen, because like, you know, there's the unconscious bias that a lot of us Fallout fans have, where it's like, well, I hope they kind of do it this way instead of, I know they're going to do it this way, because, like, let's be honest, deep down in our hearts, we all knew for a fact that they were going to go with the baseline story that Bethesda created with Fallout 3.
the finding your father
starting point. Thing. Yeah, finding the father. That was gonna be the starting point. It was gonna expand from there. I'm pretty sure we all knew that deep down in our hearts, but we were hoping that it was gonna be something slightly different. But Bethesda is gonna be Bethesda and rehash the same story.
Yeah, I think that's just a human thing, right? You always want to vote for the thing you're hoping for rather than the thing that feels more like it's actually going to happen. But there were definitely some surprises on the season. There were definitely some things that were a surprise. Vault-Tec being the main villain was not something I would have predicted. I put it on the list as a possibility because we know Vault-Tec isn't the most scrupulous of companies out there. But I was thinking it was more likely to be the Enclave or super mutants or something like that. And it wasn't. It wasn't. That totally hit me off guard.
Both of those literally made an appearance only in the second episode.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Saint has a thought. Saint, what are you thinking? Oh, I still can't hear you. I don't know if you're like double muted or maybe your mic is muted. Here, we'll let you figure that out for a moment. Pumpkin, I think you had something you wanted to share too. What were you thinking?
I was just going to say congrats to Silas.
Yeah, congrats, man. That's awesome. That's so cool. Anybody else have any thoughts? Anything they want to share about this?
I was personally thinking that they were going to try and tread more ground that was in the games.
Can you hear me now?
Also, that sort of fan service element of it.
Yeah, so this is Willow. Well, welcome. This is your first time on the show. You thought, I thought they were going to tread more ground too. They kept it very concise in certain ways, but yet it was still expansive in others. Like they hit a lot of key things, but it was almost like some of that stuff was background stuff, you know?
Well, that's exactly what I said, was they were going to try and keep it a simple story so the people who are not familiar with the Fallout universe can follow along too, so it hits as broad of base as possible. That's was one of my main talking points back in the last Patreon episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was specifically that.
Yeah, I think you nailed that one on the head for sure. Saint, we could hear you now. I think you fixed your mic. What did you want to share?
Oh, nothing. More or less, I was going to bring up one of my favorite parts. Actually, was probably some of the humor. Actually, just some of the really stuff I never would have expected to hear out of something on Amazon, whether it was, you know, some of the
yes,
the honesty incest jokes. I thought that stuff was pretty funny. Or anytime Maximus really said anything, he was probably my favorite part of the show. Like he was that was the sleeper. He was the best.
You know, with Bethesda's track record on the games that they've played have kind of cleaned up a bit with every new release. Like Starfield is very T-rated, even though it's technically M. Yeah, I was a little bit surprised too that they did kind of push things in that direction, which we see in earlier Bethesda games, but not necessarily the more recent ones. So I thought that was really cool. Solid point. All right. Well, any other thoughts on the predictions? Because we're going to spend the second half of this show talking about all the cool stuff that happened in the TV series, all the things that all your favorite bits and stuff like that. Any other things about the predictions? Any other things that go sideways from where you expected it to go? Anybody else? Void, go for it.
I didn't expect there to be gulpers.
Yeah.
That is one thing that caught me off guard, especially since it does not look like the gulpers that you see in Far Harbor.
Right. It's almost like the gulpers in different locations are different types of creatures that just all got the same names because they're similar, but they're clearly from a different source, it appears.
Right. And during the scene where they were in that, like, almost looked like a flooded mine or quarry area.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me it didn't look like a massive axolotl.
Oh, yeah. It was very axolotl-like. Yeah, yeah. Pumpkin wants to chime in.
Sorry. The gulper is one of my favorite points of the entire show.
I love the fingers in the mouth. The mouth fingers.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing that I love is the fact that I do believe that that's what they did when you brought up the name is the reason is because they look similar. Is because the gulper you see in game is literally like a newt. It is a gecko, not a gecko. Like I think
newt
is probably the better.
Yeah.
A salamander. Thank you.
Yeah.
But the one in the show is an abomination, so it's in the same vein as a centaur.
Right, right. Or a Snallygaster or something like that. Yeah, it is just like a
original
human.
From Vault 4.
Right, yeah. It's just like this weird thing. That
it's, it's like what, Uncle Jeb or Uncle Jeff or something like
something
that?
Something like that, yes. Yeah.
I forget what the Cyclops said, but like it's literally his uncle.
Right, right. Darth, you wanted to chime in too. I saw you unmuting and ready to chime in. I don't want to miss what you have to say on this.
Oh, I was going to say it was an axolotl though, too.
It was very axolotl looking. It almost looked like a combination of like an axolotl and then some other weird amphibian and then a humans. And like they just took DNA from all these things, kind of mashed it together, you know?
Yeah.
And I love the little eyes on the top sides of its head. Like that part was actually kind of cute, even though the rest of it is just absolutely disgusting. Like it's cute. And the other thing I really like about it is it gave season one a big, scary monster without revealing the death claws. I mean, they hint at the death claws with like a skull in the last episode and then like the scene panning out of New Vegas, but we don't actually see a death claw. And so that means they can keep that for season two along with super mutants. And they still have some ammunition, I guess you could say, to surprise some of the listeners who aren't people who play the games. So that is a lot of fun too. Willow, you have thoughts?
I think it was episode one or two, but when it's the scene with the Yaogwai cave, like in my head, I was thinking it's either going to be a Deathclaw or a Yaogwai. And I'm glad it wasn't a Deathclaw because I feel like revealing something that big so early would sort of put a bit of a dampener on it, and it would suit to be in, it would fit better in like a bigger moment.
Yeah, a more climactic moment in the season than just like, oh, there's a big monster in a cave. Yeah. Yeah, the Yaogwai was great too. And it just like they look weird and gross in the game with the whole patches of fur thing and the messed up skin, but that thing was like so, I bet it smelled so bad.
the whole scene with it, I think, was probably the funnier thing about it. The whole scene to go with it.
Right, right. The Brotherhood guy that was played by, oh, what's the actor's name who plays the Brotherhood guy? When they take the helmet off and I'm just like, oh my God, it's that guy. I forget his name off the top of my head, but that, yeah, hilarious. Pluto, you have some thoughts too. What do you want to say?
I just want to point out how good the design was for like the Yaogwai and the Gulper. Like they did a phenomenal job on the animal design.
Yeah, yeah. Todd Howard was interviewed recently, and beyond just the animal design, like the items and things were actually 3D printed off of models from the games, which I feel totally tracks because everything looks so close, like the weapons, some of the different items that they, you know, engage with in the environment and around them. A lot of that stuff looked absolutely accurate to what we know from at least Fallout 4 and 76, if not Fallout 3 or New Vegas. Like they have the two different versions of the 10 millimeter pistol. Did you notice that? They had both versions, which is great because that's lore accurate in a way. Like depending on which games you've played, you're going to be find one of those familiar. So
yeah, see N80 and N99.
Yeah, so pretty
close.
Those
cool are the
stuff.
Models, by the way, if you were confused, those are the different models for the pistols. N80, which is the original, and then N99 replaced it by like the Sino-American War.
Yeah, and so they were both there in the world. That's awesome. That's cool. That's good info to know, Nova. Cool. Well, here, tell you what, we're going to go take a mid break. We're going to go thank you guys, our patrons, and everyone else who supports the show. I'll try to get through it as fast as we can. We've got some new people who signed up, and I want to make sure everyone gets thanked for that. And then we're going to spend the second half of the show, and I want each of you to share something that you found to be the best thing in the show, one of your favorite things that the show did, whether it's a scene, the way they did the characters, the scenery, the way the story played out, any specific detail you want to shout out, feel free to do that. And so we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
See another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is where I get to thank everybody who helps make this possible. Thank you for being here, everyone, and welcome to all the new people who are joining because of the Fallout TV show. We have a bunch of new patrons who have signed up in the last week, and so you're all going to get shout outs. That includes Exo Tick Mixed, I think that's how you pronounce the name, Kyle T, Generals Psycho, Aviva, Ryan F, Green Knight, Liberty Lime, and Jillian D. Welcome to the Patreon. Thank you for signing up. And I have to shout out our Sentry Bot to your patrons, Germinator and Pluto. Thank you so much for your support as well. Thanks for being here. And to all 104 of our current active patrons, thank you so much for the support. Also, if you'd like to help out in other ways, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I'll read it out on a future episode of the show. We've got a bunch of new ones in, but I'm going to save those for until next week, because I want to give our patrons as much time as possible to talk about things this week. And so if you've left a review and you're waiting for me to read it out, don't worry, I'll get there. And then also you can rate the show on Spotify. 5-star reviews on Spotify help a ton as well. Plus you can share it with your friends and family. If they're watching the Fallout show and they're like, what's the deal with the Brotherhood? Who are they? Be like, hey, I've got a podcast for you. This guy explains it all. So thank you to everybody for your support. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, here we go. We're talking our favorite bits and favorite details from the TV show. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go backwards in order of people on the screen. And I know some of you haven't really had a chance to chime in too much. Some of you are new. I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to talk. And Kaylee, welcome to the stream. I know you kind of logged in here a little bit late. So glad you made it. Is your mic working?
Should be.
Awesome. I can hear you. What was one of your favorite parts from the Fallout show?
Well, I've only watched like a few of the episodes currently. Like, I'm only halfway through it, but definitely just the whole first episode of it just really, I don't know, I just got nostalgic vibes off of it, like from the series. Like of the games.
Yeah, like actually seeing a vault and real people walk around in it and all of that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I just was blown away by the props in it. Like you mentioned before, like just how accurate everything was, like how it was essentially taken from the game.
Yeah, it was very smart for them to 3D print stuff directly from the game, because for those of us who have loved these games for years, that comes across super authentic, because it feels like we're looking at the video game and it's actually a show and those are real props. And that's so crazy cool. And then I guess the next thought I had is like, all right, so how do we get those? Like, can I get one of those? Like, I know they make replicas of like some of the weapons and things you can buy in the store and stuff, but like, oh my God, can you imagine being somebody who worked on the show, on the set, and being like, so I can take the Nuka-Cola bottles home? Is that cool? Yeah. Or whatever.
That would be so awesome. Just like rocking around in the power armor.
Right. Can I get a suit of power armor and just put it in my garage? Is that cool? Will it even fit in my garage? I'm not sure how tall that actually is. Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, I absolutely love that stuff. Anyone else want to chime in on this point? Share any of your thoughts about the accuracy of everything and the feeling of the first show. Oh, and by the way, Kylie, we are going to have some spoilers here for some of the other episodes. I can't avoid it in that we're all chatting about it. So if you want to be careful, I wouldn't blame you if you're like, okay, I'm going to dip out. I'll listen a little bit more later. But if you're not too worried about spoilers, then feel free to stay.
Yeah, I'm not really fussed when it comes to spoilers, so it'll be fine.
Okay, cool. Pumpkin has some thoughts.
So you brought up the whole prop thing. Like, it was early on in it was one where you see an Assaultron broken on the ground.
Yes, when she leaves the vault, there's an Assaultron stuck in the ground.
What I heard about that is that was actually a cosplay.
Really?
That's what I heard. I don't know if it's true, but I heard that was a cosplay.
Okay, anybody listening, if you know if that was an actual cosplay outfit, because that's awesome, because some of the cosplayers have made some amazingly accurate outfits for this stuff.
It wouldn't be the first time a studio asked cosplayers to be in a show.
Yeah.
Star Wars did that.
Yeah, no, that's a thing. Sure. That's so cool. That's really cool. Kylie, thank you for this one. All right, let's, thanks for being here also. Welcome to the show. let's move on. Let's go to Spartan, AK Spartan. How's it going? How are things? How's life? How's the family? How's kids? I can't hear you. I don't know if your mic's not working. I think maybe the mic's not working. All right, we're going to move on to Silas, and we'll give you a minute to see if you can figure out the mic. Silas, what did you like about the show?
So mine connects with what Kaylee had said, and
I was really, really impressed by the design and the execution of all of the backgrounds and everything. I really loved the fact that even like the outdoor shots, just about everything in the show felt like it was actually there and actually real, except for the de-aging effect.
Yeah, and then some of the monsters, there are some of the scenes with the monsters where you can tell that they've like a lot of motion had to happen, so they CG'd like a little bit, but then they went back to the model or whatever. Outside of that, it was very heavy in the actual real bits and things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I really appreciated just even like all the background stuff that you wouldn't even notice, because I have this is insider knowledge. I have a coworker whose sister does set design, and she actually worked on the Fallout show. And before the show came out, I was able to see pictures of some of the set designs in Fallout in the vault, because she had taken pictures of it for her resume.
Cool.
Seeing just how they spent so much time and care and focus on just making sure that the world felt lived in and felt 200 years old without feeling completely busted.
No, that's very important. Did you have the same feeling I did when they got to Philly, when we finally like get to see Philly, which we see in some of the trailers and things, and they're on the outskirts and then they actually get into the town? I had this feel, it's like gut feeling of like, yeah, the vault was great. Yeah, the wilderness is great. But this is like a make or break moment, because everybody knows what it's like to walk into a settlement in a Fallout game, right? And you've got all the junk, all the buildings that are pieced together, all the signs that are just, like, everything's a mess. And then they go in and it's like, oh, yeah, this is Fallout.
Yeah. Right? And I really liked also how, before they went into the city, how it almost felt like depictions of like medieval places. It looked, just because of all the trees, but all the vendors lined up against the road.
Yeah.
And how that kind of began to welcome you into Philly itself.
Right.
I really liked it. And it gave a very big, where we see in Philly feels like the town center, but Philly extends way beyond it.
Right.
It gave it that feeling to it, which I really liked.
Yeah, spot on. Pluto wants to chime in about this. Pluto, what do you think?
Regarding the vendors, I really thought it was funny how they only seemed to have like a set amount of dialogue. And when she tried to talk about literally anything else, he just went back to selling his stuff.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing to notice. I didn't think of it that way, but yeah, that's that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, just like an NPC, just like, nope, these are the only things I could talk about, sorry. Yeah, absolutely. Spot on, Silas. There's some good points there. Let's jump back to Spartan. Did you get your mic set up?
Yeah, can you guys hear
me? There you go, we can hear
you.
All
right, cool. Yeah, I think I just had to switch which mic I was using. I don't know what was going on there.
No problem. All right, so what were your thoughts? What was one of your favorite things about the show?
I really liked the show. I liked everything that people have mentioned so far, but one of my favorite things, if I was going to say something new, is probably that, like, I think the show did a really good job of having like funny and interesting side characters, which feels like a main, like a very Fallout thing. Like the early Fallout games, especially like New Vegas, I think of too, like there's a lot of interesting like people you meet besides like the main people you meet throughout the quest, like House or like any of the stuff like that. Like, I think like Thaddeus and Chet probably would be my favorite too, just from a humor perspective. But like,
yeah,
I think that the show, like aside from like the main three being like, because I was very certain that like the main three, like the ghoul and Lucy, would probably be like very fleshed out and interesting. But like, I didn't know like going into it what else to expect from like the characters and all that. And like, I think the side characters were really, really well written and were interesting in ways that I wasn't sure if was going to be in the show.
Yeah. Like the pathetic guy on his little plot of land that invites Lucy to live with him.
Yeah, that was another good one.
Yeah, I mean, these are the kinds of things you come across in Fallout games, right? There are these little side characters who are just wacky or just like totally messed up in some way, and you're just like, cool, like the see
chicken,
you later.
Like the chicken man.
Like the chicken guy, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the snake oil salesman guy. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, they nailed that stuff too. And you know, the concern with that is, do they go too ridiculous and then they turn off a general audience who doesn't get that that's actually a reference to something? Because if you push too far on these kinds of boundaries, people are like, oh, well, that's ridiculous. Nobody would be like that. You know, or like, you know, the idea of like, you know, you inject yourself with a stim pack and all of a sudden your wound heals up. And it's like, oh, well, that's what? That's not how, that's not real, you know, but it's like, it doesn't need to be real. This is Fallout. This is how things work in Fallout. It's consistent, but it's weird, you know? So yeah, solid points, Spartan. All right, let's move to Void. Void, share one of your favorite things.
Well, I want to say first that now we know how Silas won that that guessing game.
He had an inside,
right?
No.
My favorite parts had to be just the environment, because we were speculating about that, whether it was going to be half on the East Coast and half on the West Coast, just due to the Brotherhood pictures that we had from the trailer, because a lot of it was very green, like the West Coast, or the East Coast is.
Right.
Like we see in Fallout 4 and 76. And even, I haven't played much of 3, but I assume that's kind of about the same
hue. Well, 3 is pretty devastated, but there's a green hue on everything. Right. Similar, like New Vegas has kind of like a yellow, brownish hue on everything.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that, just the environment building, it almost looks like they did it actually out in the wilderness. And knowing just about like the budget and how well this was made, I wouldn't be surprised if they did actually make these sets out in the middle of nowhere.
The scene in the forest where there's all the broken down cars and buses and things, where Lucy's walking around, she tries to talk to some people and they just keep on walking by. Remember that scene? That is a real location. That's not even a set. That's a real location with old vehicles that have just been stored in this part of what appears to be a forest, and they found it. The scene where she, right after she leaves the vault, and she's walking through like the beaches and desert area, and she goes by like a boat that's stuck in the desert and all broken down. Again, that's another real location. I believe it's like in Africa or something like that. Like, these are real things. So yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's very, very cool that they use so much real settings in this. Saint wanted to chime in on this one. Saint?
Oh, no, I was just going to say that, yeah, no, that scene with the boat was, I can't remember what it is, but somewhere on the Ivory Coast, the scene with the ship.
Yeah.
It's actually like, that's a very iconic thing where like a lot of films have been shot. And then also, yeah, pretty much that was going to point out, which is a very famous location, actually, which I can't remember the name of.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody can correct us out there. But yeah, like very real locations. That's, yeah, absolutely. And it did the show well, because it feels like this is a real place, because it's filmed in real places. So absolutely. Solid one, Void. All right, let's move on to Nova. We got to give everybody a chance to chime in here. Nova, what was one of your favorite things?
So I love the scenery. I loved how the world was built up, but I'm going to talk about the weapons that were used simply because that is one of my interests. So in this starting scene, or not the starting scene, I mean, the first episode, they were using... Sorry if you hear my dogs bark in the background.
That's
they're
fine.
Very excited because somebody just walked through the house.
Yeah, that's
fine. In the starting scene, they when the Raiders were first attacking Vault 33, they're using what's called a Sterling SMG, which you may recognize from Star Wars being the E-11 blaster that stormtroopers carry. It's like a fun little Easter egg, and that's kind of a stand-in for the pipe rifle, because pipe rifle fires a 38 and Sterling fires 9mm, and 38 and 9mm are close enough to be synonymous with each other. I just thought it was really cool. A lot of people in the series, especially the NCR Remnants, use the BAR, the Browning Automatic Rifle, which was the automatic rifle from Fallout New Vegas is Dead Money DLC. And so it's another tie-in to that, but also the BAR was inspiration in the design behind the combat rifle. And so if you ever watch a World War II movie or you play a World War II game and you're the American good guys, then you will definitely have seen the BAR. And so it is a very famous rifle. There are tons of other things like the Mini 14, which what the shopkeeper was using, who was taking in the doctor before the shootout with the ghoul. That is a very famous American rifle that is really become synonymous with the police from and police and ranchers from way back in the 50s and 60s. And obviously the Tommy gun, which is also used by the NCO remnants and a lot of other stuff like that. I just thought there was a ton of interesting retro rifles and pistols that were used, and that's only naming a couple of them that really stuck out to me. And you can see the inspiration behind, like, for example, the Colt single action army, that is the single action pistol from 76. And so I'm really glad that they pulled a lot of the weapon designs from the games and incorporated into the TV show, because they could have easily just been like, oh, well, here's an M16. Like, I know that's the service rifle, but still, sure. Like, they could just be like, we're going to get these very common weapons that are just on the market today. Like, here's a Glock instead of the 10 millimeter pistol.
Right. The stuff you see all the time, everybody and everything. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm just very happy that they decided to go back and use weapons that are retro, but slightly futurized. Like, for example, the 10 millimeter pistol is basically a Desert Eagle, but they stylized it to look much more like the actual in-game version of it. And so I was very happy with that, because it makes everything much more flow a lot better and just feel more in universe.
Right. And then they even strayed away from using like laser weapons and plasma weapons, like things like that, like showing that like that stuff is like you still see them, but I don't remember anybody actually shooting one. Which kind of like the Death Claws, like clearly they're leaving that for later seasons. Also, it would be more common to come across these vintage guns and keep them in good repair and use them than to come across a laser gun, right? Like, those would be more rare.
Would.
Yeah, so it totally fits. It totally works. Pluto, I saw you raising your hand. Did you want to chime in on this one?
I just wanted to commend Nova. You know a crap ton about guns, dude.
Oh, I own like 30-something, so yes.
He loves guns and dogs. That's Nova's thing.
Speaking of dogs, Doggy was a Belgian Malinois female, and she's a very good girl. Belgian Malinois are like one of my favorite breeds, by the way, and so I absolutely adore that they chose a Belgian Malinois, because dog meat up to this point has been a different breed of dog at every single installation of the game, or most installations of the game. Like 1, 2, and 3, it was a blue healer,
right?
But then in Fallout New Vegas, dog meat, which became Rex, was some other cattle dog. I don't exactly remember, because it was kind of butchered, because, you know.
Wasn't it kind of like a German Shepherd?
It was more, I'm almost certain it was a mutt of some kind, because like, you can't really tell, because so much of Rex itself was missing.
Right.
Replaced with a body part, replaced with automaton parts. But in Fallout 4, it was a German Shepherd, and then a Belgian Malinois is a Belgian Shepherd, and so it's a cousin of the German Shepherd, and those are also called firmissiles, because they're used by the police and the military. And the raid that killed the ISIS leader back in 2018 was killed by a Belgian Malinois. I forget her name, but she was awarded was it a presidential citation or the Medal of Honor or something, or the equivalent that we award to animals? Anyways, so you can see why they chose a Belgian Malinois to represent dog meat in this show. And I found that really, 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 really cool.
Yeah, Nova's just dropping the knowledge bomb. Thanks for all that. Yeah. That's really cool, man.
This is why I chose this to talk about, because I know something like this.
Yeah, that's awesome. Guns and dogs. There you go. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, cool, man. Well, thanks for sharing. We got to keep moving. Let's go to Willow. I know, Willow, you've got kind of a time limit here. It's real late for you. What was one of your favorite things about the show?
Honestly, for all of Fallout, especially the games, which is obviously where I originate, like in the franchise, it's the music for me. like, I never would have thought of myself who would enjoy that. So music like 40s, 50s era style and stuff, but the Fallout games really got me into it. So
yeah,
it was really enjoyable to see that in the show, and like even stuff that like songs that weren't in the games.
Yeah, I think you're what you're explaining there and your experience with that is very common for a lot of people. A lot of people are like, I wouldn't have gone back and listened to 1930s swing jazz. Like, why would I just go look that up? But it being in the games makes you kind of appreciate it, because you realize, okay, no, this is cool. Like, this is cool. It also creates a really interesting feeling. One of the things I noted to my wife while we were watching, they were playing, I think it was one of the Inkspot songs at the end of one of the episodes, and I was like, this music does two different things. One, it creates that feeling of this being out of place. There's this out of place element. But it also, because of the way that people sang back then, creates kind of a haunting quality. Almost like when you go into like a Victorian mansion and you can tell that this used to be a beautiful looking location, but now 150 years later, it just looks old and creepy. Like, the music kind of does that same thing. It's beautiful, but it's out of place, and it feels kind of creepy. At least that was my perspective on it. Do you have the same kind of feeling sometimes with the show?
I feel like it definitely can sort of have that effect where it's like quite morbid, really, because like, especially in the perspective of being a character in the Fallout show, that sort of music is like, oh, these people are all dead. They were all killed in the Great Wall.
Yeah, yeah, or way before that. And yet we're still listening to the same music. Yeah.
So obviously that sort of has more connotations than even now, looking back at something like 100 years in the past.
Yeah, yeah. And then the lyrics were always topical to the situation in some interesting or ironic way. Ted, you got your hand raised. You want to chime in on the music? What are you thinking?
Yeah. First of all, you know, happy to be here, new to the chat. So
yeah, welcome. Everybody. I'm so glad you're able to join us.
Yeah. So kind of the follow up on Will, I just think they did such a great job of timing the music in such a medium of almost that feeling of kind of almost like a Neo in the Matrix where something's just not right. And especially for new viewers, I think that was really cool for people who are not familiar with the franchise, is they clued in on these things we recognized 10 minutes ago, where new users are getting that feeling of the, you know, goosebumps or something is not quite right with this picture, even though everything sounds pretty, et cetera. So I think they did a great job of transitioning the game feeling to the music without just playing all the best hits and just making that about itself.
Yeah, and some of the songs were from the games, and some of the songs were new and hadn't been used in the games before. And then who got goosebumps in the scene with Lucy when all of a sudden she's in Vault 4, I think, and all of a sudden the Vault music plays, like the intro music for like Fallout 4 or whatever. Well, I don't remember the official title of that track, but it's like dun dun dun, like that thing. And I was just like, oh my god, oh, it's the music. Oh, it's so good. Yeah, totally. Totally. Void?
My childhood hit me in the gonads right there.
Your childhood hit you in the gonads. Nice. Void, you wanted to chime in.
So I was watching episode 6 or 7 or so, but there was a fight scene where the Brotherhood guy, the
Maximus.
Yeah, that one. Mm-hmm. He was fighting everyone in Vault 4 after they were going to let Lucy go.
Right.
And that, like, 50s or 60s love song started coming on. My mom has no clue what Fallout is or anything, and she just starts cackling because she loves these scenes, and she just thinks it's so ironic.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is a normal song for Fallout.
Right,
like,
right. But it works. It has a place. It's not just part of the setting. It is. But it also has a really effective use, and they did it so well. You're absolutely right. That's great. That's great. Your mom was cracking up. That's awesome. Silas, you've got your hand raised. Oh, you're still muted. There you go.
My bad. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the first time that I'm aware of that Johnny Cash has been used. And I am all for it, because his sound and his bravado with his music very much is fitting of the environment of Fallout. And I was really happy to hear them play him.
Yeah, I don't know if is he one of those artists who, like, his music doesn't get used in a lot of shows and things because of, like, general, like, just it's just not a thing. I don't know. I'm seeing some nods. Okay. Yeah.
So I think his music's been used, but it wasn't him singing, because right. I know that Ring of Fire was in 76.
Yeah, Ring of Fire in 76 is a cover. It's not actually him.
Yeah. So I think it's most majority of the time they're covers of his songs.
Yeah, because like artists like AC/DC are all over the place. They're in the MCU. They're like everywhere. Like there are certain artists, Guns N' Roses, whoever, like that. Their music is everywhere. But then there are artists that like the Beatles for the longest time. You couldn't have a Beatles song in anything, because they didn't let people do that. And I wouldn't be surprised if Johnny Cash and his estate are might be the same way. And so maybe they felt like this project was worth it, and so they opened up and allowed it to be used. That's a really interesting point. All right.
The only other time I can remember Johnny Cash being used was in Logan. And that was Hurt by Johnny Cash, and that was actually him singing.
Right. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That is the only other time that I can remember.
If I remember right, that was a cover also.
Was it
no,
a cover?
No, it was not. It was actually Hurt by Johnny Cash.
No. Hurt is a cover of a different band.
Yeah,
it might be Johnny Cash's version.
But it was Johnny Cash singing. Yes, it was his version, right? Yeah, because Johnny Cash covered a Nine Inch Nails song is what happened with that. And then Trent Reznor was like, okay, this is no longer my song. This is officially Johnny Cash's song, because you can't do better than Johnny Cash. Yeah, the very, very cool stuff. All right, we got to keep going. Let's move on to Basic Zombie Dude. What was one of your favorite things?
So I'm a massive person to the lore, especially with Fallout 1, 2, and New Vegas. Uh-huh. One thing I loved about the show is we finally got to see Sandy or Shady Sands as well as New Vegas, and they were massive callbacks, and I loved it so much. But also, as everybody else was saying, the aesthetics of the land, if you played through the end of Fallout 2, you got to see, like, obviously it's all about the Gek, right? Which is the Garden of Eden creation kit. And so I have a feeling after they did that, like in the show, that's the reason why they were like, it'd be okay if we put a little bit of trees in here, a little bit of cheese in there type of thing. Mm-hmm. Like they're trying to explain more and more of the story of, what happened in like the LA area, sort of. But that's one of my main like lovable parts of the show, because when I saw Sandy Shores, I was like, it's the thing.
Right. Yeah, absolute callbacks. Did you see on the recent Todd Howard interview where he just absolutely emphatically was like, there's no beef between Bethesda and Obsidian. We love the original Fallout stuff. We love New Vegas. We're trying to do it right. There's no ill intention here. Everybody just needs to chill out. Wherever that story came from just got totally blown out of proportion. But yeah. Having callbacks to West Coast stuff, because there are three major games set in the West Coast, you know, like, that's awesome. That's like, and it, I feel like it was really smart for Bethesda to do that, because it does show that they care about that part of the lore and they care about extending that story forward and finding out what else happens with that. So yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Void has some thoughts on this. Void.
I have so many thoughts today. It's weird. I just remembered this. There's another callback. The water chip breaks.
Right. Yes.
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 The water chip in 32,
33,
it breaks.
Yeah, after they get invaded, and then he comes out and he's like,
I don't remember what game that we were looking for.
The very first game, the water chip is broken.
Fallout 1.
Fallout 1, yeah.
I've been recently replaying through Fallout 1, so.
I am unable to.
Oh.
Yeah, no, after the TV show came out, I was like, I'm going to replay through all of them, relearn their story. And so that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, you and like the rest of the internet. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, solid points, zombie dude. All right, let's move on to Ted. Ted, what is one of your favorite things?
So I'm going to kind of go more wide scope of mine. I think it was just a general feeling of how is a new audience that has not played the games, how are they going to adapt to this? Because the more popular the show, the more Fallout we get. So we're all, as the video game fans, going to be happy with that. And I think I started with Fallout 3, and I think wherever you started in the game, you probably didn't know a lot about the series, about what was happening, and you slowly got down a rabbit hole of the, man, this is a more twisted world than I thought, or scary world. I think I was 12 when I was playing Fallout 3 and going into the police station that was infested with super mutants and being like terrified at midnight to turn the corner.
Right.
And I think they did a great job with Lucy going from that bushy-tailed can-do attitude feeling to slowly devolving into, you know, the world of madness.
Well, being prepared, I would couch that as being prepared for the wasteland through some very difficult training by the ghoul. Maybe that's, I think she still stuck to her morals, but she was less ignorant by the end of the season.
And I think it's a good metaphor for the journey that the new people are going through. You know, they're brand new to this world. And so they're going through the same of, this is a new world, I don't know, coming out of the vault kind of metaphor. And they're slowly getting pulled into this desolate world. And I think as players, we forget that, you know, we play 3, 4, whatever. And by the time we get to New Vegas or Fallout 4, we're like, all right, I know my build, I know how I want to play. And we forget to experience that feeling of the world slowly kind of dissolving.
Yeah, that's a really solid point. It's one of the reasons why when I play through the games, I typically try to role play what my character would do, not what I would do. I try to come up with a personality and go, okay, in this situation, my character would do this, because that's the only way to get a different perspective on it. If you just do the same thing you normally do, you get the same results. And you might get a different story because it's a new game, but you still go, oh, well, I'm going to be the sneaky sniper build and I'm going to always try to pick the good thing, or, you know, whatever. And then you just kind of end up replaying the same character, and that's fine. But then if you're going to play through it again, my recommendation would be like, have motivation, build a character, have somebody with a perspective and stick to that character. And it creates that a little bit of that, like experiencing something new again, kind of feeling, because you can never go back and experience something for the first time. So, but yeah, like her perspective on the world absolutely is very much like a new player in the world, understanding what this is. And it's that gateway for the audience.
Yeah. And then just one small thing is just the humor, the tongue in cheek of taking the humor from the game to, you know, I was like, how do you make fun of the over encumbered when you're walking around too much weight? You throw a squire down with a bag the size of his head, like
bigger than him,
to kind of reflect that. I'm like, I would have never thought to do that in a million years to reflect that joke. Right. I think they did a great job with the writing and that tongue in cheek humor that Fallout's known for.
Yeah. Did you see the stuff added to 76 with the, like the, there's like a, someone you can put in your camp who's a squire who has a gigantic bag.
I haven't had a chance to play 76 too much.
Yeah, they've incorporated some of the stuff from the show in 76. It's like stuff that you can actually do in the game, which is pretty cool. Pluto, did you want to chime in?
I have that squire in my camp. He gets annoying so fast.
Does he? I hadn't purchased him, but I think it's just hilarious. You know, it's kind of like the who's the character in Starfield that was also in Oblivion? The fan, the adoring fan. Where like you pick it because it's annoying and ridiculous on purpose, you know, like that kind of thing. Well, thanks, Ted. Some cool points. All right, Saint, it's your time. Time to shine. Time to share. Time to, you know, talk into the microphone. Whatever.
I'll keep it short because I already talked. But one thing I just really like is the fact that they really didn't pull any punches. Like it was very. That again with the humor, how it was very, you know, it was very purely mature. It was still like very much an R rating, honestly, like, but not even just the humor, just everything across the board. I mean, in the vault floor scene where she saw that birthing video,
like
the piranhas come out, I'm like, this is borderline X rated. That blew me away, because in today's market, you know, you try to appeal as many people as possible. I could see a writer's room being like, oh, this might turn some people off. They're like, nope, we're going full bore. We're doing it all.
Yeah, no, and kudos to them, because there are horror aspects of the Fallout games. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, and so they didn't shy away from that. I read a thread on Reddit where somebody was like, I'm pretty sure that was the most disturbing thing I've ever seen on like a TV show. Like, holy crap. Yeah, it was definitely one of those moments. Pumpkin?
Mm-hmm.
It is on the same thing of like, this is borderline X-rated, the accuracy of the barracks room of the brother.
Yes. Yeah, there was definitely some, there was a moment there as well. I know what you're talking about. Nova. Yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, yeah. Saint.
No, I was going to say, no, I was in the army before. I can definitely say some of that stuff is highly accurate.
Yeah, I believe it. Nova wanted to chime in too. Nova?
I was going to say, I hope this kind of opens up the door to a lot of creators dip their toe into more experimental stuff, where it's like, okay, well, Fallout got away with it and it's very popular. Now let's try doing this as well. And not feeling as kind of like
limited,
corralled into a corner by executives because we want to reach the bottom. I hope this allows other TV shows, especially video game adaptations, to have the real run of the field and be able to feel like they can do whatever they need to reach the audience they're trying to.
Yeah, yeah. It's when it makes sense for the story and it's accurate, it's not just for shock value. There's value in that, right? Like, this is actually showing how terrifying the world really can be. And I think that there's absolutely some value there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, just for compare and contrast, like the Halo TV show versus the Fallout TV show, like, Halo really held a ton of punches. Because, like, if you've ever played the Halo games, just as graphic as the Fallout video games are, but the TV show really swept a lot of that underneath the rug, and it kind of just felt muted compared to the games. And so I'm hoping now that Fallout has really proven that's a viable concept, well, reproven it, because we already knew that from like years and years and years ago that it was a viable concept. I hope that now kind of opens the gate, the floodgates, and allows other creators and other executives and storyboard artists and writers to really dig their teeth into this and allow them to show the world that they're in the real meat that they're supposed to be in.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. All right. Let's move on to Darth Odin. Darth, what was one of your favorite parts of the show?
Ooh.
If you just had to pick one, what would you say?
I know. I would say the overall story, like the multiple plot twists, and a lot of the show had me hanging on like the edge of my seat, because I was just like, what's going to happen next?
Right. Yeah. It wasn't easy to predict, and the way that it all comes together in like the last two episodes, and they fill in all the gaps, I think was masterfully done. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely love the plot twist at the end, you know, where they kind of, and then the fact that Mr. House was in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And there's been speculation because they hinted at New Vegas for season two. Like, are we going to get to see House? Is he still around? Are we going to get some sort of conclusion? Or is there going to be some sort of reason why we don't know for sure? Like, what's going to happen? But they have the actor. So who knows? Yeah. Yeah. Solid. All right. Pluto, you're up. Pluto, what was one of your favorite things?
So one scene in particular stood out to me, where the ghoul and Lucy were interacting with, I think his name was Frank or something, that the other like ghoul.
Okay. Yeah. 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 He's turning and they're having that like talk with him inside the house.
Exactly. Ghouls as a concept to me have always been way more tragic than regular zombies, just by virtue of the fact that they're still alive after they've been turned for years, and they resist their mind rotting away. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be, it seems like it can be an agonizing and slow process. I mean, it's analogous to Alzheimer's or something like that, where you are kind of aware of what's happening as it's happening. And then you slowly slip further and further away. Yeah, that's got to be horrifying. Absolutely. for you and everybody else around you, because who knows when you're going to just turn and want to eat their face. Yeah. Yeah, that scene was really, really good. Anybody else have thoughts on that one? Pumpkin?
I think it really showed the like what kind of world that the ghouls have to live in.
Yeah.
And what they have to deal with. It really goes into it, like, the, cuz like we got some bits here and there in the game, but we never really saw like what it was like for a ghoul to go from non-feral to feral.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's ever been really
right.
shown.
The, the turning process,
actual visual thing. Yeah.
And the idea that there's some sort of elixir out there that can stave that off is a new addition to the lore. Not every ghoul needs it, but it seems like once you start turning, you can keep it from happening if you can get enough of the elixir, whatever that is. That's at least my read on it. But yeah, it's horrifying. Absolutely. Silas?
I'm really excited to see the continuation of the explanation as to what the elixir is and what of it causes them to be prolonged. Because for a second there with them talking to Roger whenever he was getting filleted by them, I thought that in my mind that registered as that's a substitute for the elixir, is eating another human. But obviously it wasn't, because he still started the turn.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah,
I'd be curious to see what their lore explanation is for how that came about and what it's really for.
Yeah, my guess is it's some sort of chemical that they figured out that staves off the changing once you realize you're starting to change. Not every ghoul needs it, but yeah. Saint, I saw your hand first.
I just want to say I really love the in that scene, even though after he died, the ass jerky, I still love that moment. I thought that was hilarious. Like, this is something horrible that's happening, but here's some humor.
Right. Yeah, of course, because it's Fallout. Pluto?
About the elixir, I saw a theory that it was like a mix of like Radaway and I think
Jet or something.
Yeah.
Maybe. I who knows? They have an opportunity to reveal more in the next season. Ted?
Yeah, I kind of wondered if the like how Martha and the freezer, she was saying, "My name's Martha," right, minding herself. I wonder if there's a willpower connection of like a core memory of your past that helps you stave off longer from the elixir, because Walter Goggins' character, his sole focus is finding his family. Maybe he's been able to survive longer because he has that one memory intact. Whereas when he watched his old video of the movie, it almost is like he didn't recognize himself. He didn't know that past life.
I think that's an interesting point. So there's 2 points there, staving it off and maybe even just having the drive and will to still do a thing, rather than just receding into being a ghoul and losing yourself. Maybe that's part of it. When he was watching the movie, I got the sense that he was remembering who he used to be. That was a moment of reminder to him. Oh yeah, I used to be that guy. Shoot the gun because I did that scene in that movie 200 years ago or whatever. So I don't know. That's an interesting interpretation. It's open to interpretation because we don't know for sure. So yeah, who knows? Lots of cool stuff. Void's going to chime in. You got to unmute your mic again. There you go.
Sorry, it was already unmuted.
Yeah, remuted.
It also kind of solves the issue of, is it racism based, like kind of like a play on racism where they want just all ghouls separated, because now we know they actually can turn feral from being, I'm going to call it civilized.
Right.
So like good neighbors where everyone accepts everyone.
Yeah.
Even though those ghouls, including Hancock, even though some of us are weirdly attracted to him, they can turn feral if they're not taking that elixir.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that like that is a very real, that definitely confirms it's a very real worry for normal people around ghouls, that maybe one day they'll just turn and try to eat you. You know, you don't know. And because of that, it's a real concern. You can see why people would treat them differently, not just because they look weird, but because they could be dangerous and they just don't know. So, yeah, that does open it up. Yeah, good thoughts. Maybe we could delve into any number of these things even more on the next patron chat. So keep some of these things in mind for next month when I'm like, okay, what do you guys want to talk about? Because we can delve back in and debate some of this stuff for sure. But we got to get to Pumpkin. Pumpkin, you're wrapping this up. You're the last one to share one of your favorite things. What was one of your favorites?
I liked a lot of the flashbacks, but like specifically, I want to talk about the final episode, the last, like one of the last flashbacks showing the, basically we see two characters that we've seen in game as Mr. House and Frederick Sinclair, who is the big mount, the guy behind the big mountain table.
Yeah. Big MT. Yeah. Yeah.
And I know a lot of you are going to be really confused what I'm talking about, but he's the skeleton in the bunker under the Sierra Madre.
Right. Yes. Yeah, that's everyone's focusing on Mr. House.
Really talked about,
but yeah, that is another reference. House,
but that one, I caught that one really, or like right when I noticed it.
Yeah,
and I caught that before I figured out the twist of that episode.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool. Yeah, it was really cool to see like these important people, including some that are referenced in the games, behind these corporations and how ready they were to design their own vaults once the conversation kind of turned in that direction. It was like,
I will say I was a little disappointed. We didn't see Brad Burton.
Yeah.
Cause like, I know that he had some stuff to do with both the military and Vault Tech.
Yeah. You know, I have to wonder though, if they're going to leave opportunities in future seasons.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering.
There's always that.
Gonna be.
Yeah. Pluto.
They brought up the twist at the end. I feel like we can't end the episode without talking about that twist.
Okay.
That was wild that they
well specifically what part?
You're gonna go into the when Goggins turns around and it's the father.
I'm actually referring to the fact that they confirmed to drop the bombs finally.
Well, okay, so let's be clear about that.
No.
They confirmed to planning to drop the bombs, but we don't know who actually dropped the bombs. And there is speculation that it may have happened early. Otherwise, why was Cooper's daughter with him when she could have been with the mother in a safe location?
I have to fight you on that.
What do you think?
Todd Howard was interviewed. He said China dropped bombs first.
Not Todd Howard.
No, it was Tim. It was what's his last name? Tim Kane. Yeah, Tim.
Yeah.
Tim confirmed that.
Way.
Okay, so let me be very clear about the wording here. Tim Kane confirmed that during the development of Fallout 1 and then Fallout 2, that in their minds they had always considered that China was the one who dropped the bombs first. They were the ones actually behind it. But since then, the game has been under other developers, and if they're going to keep to that or not is totally up to them. So in Tim's mind, that was the original intent, but that doesn't mean that it necessarily follows through now. This show has shown that Vault Tech was considering dropping the bombs, and the fact that was very, it's seemingly becoming their plan of what to do, but we also don't know that they were confirmed to have done it. So there is still room for speculation here.
I think the exact line was we'll do it if we have to do it ourselves.
Right. So if someone else did it, then they didn't have to do it themselves.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that her daughter is not with her in a vault and safe when the first bombs drop, she's with her father and we know that the two of them are separated. That means that Vault Tech did not do it, in my estimation, because otherwise she would have had her daughter with her and safe. She wouldn't have necessarily worried about Cooper, but her daughter wouldn't have been with Cooper. So that's my, we can, let's delve into this a little bit more on the next episode. Cause we can debate all this stuff for a whole nother hour. So absolutely. Very cool points, everybody. Thank you for joining me. This has been super fun. It's always fun to chat with everybody and nerd out about one of our favorite things ever. But here, I'm going to go back through the opposite direction, and feel free to just take a quick moment to share something you want to put out into the world, whether you're a content creator or you're just doing something you want people to know about, a website or whatever. And thank you for being here. Let's start with Pumpkin. Pumpkin, anything you want to share?
Just my normal Twitter, the Pumpkin King with the three being in the E being a three and the I's being ones. And then, of course, you can always hit me up on the Discord.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us, Pumpkin. Go follow his Twitter. Pluto, anything you want to share?
I have a 21 Pilots Stan Twitter, if you want to go check that out, at Pluto Mayim, PlutoMayim.
Awesome. Yeah, go check that out. Thanks for joining us. Darth Odin, thanks for being here again. Anything you want to share?
You guys can follow me on Twitch at OdinTheHooded193, or chat with me on the Discord.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us. Saint Giub. I'm going to always mess up the way to say that. Thanks for joining us again.
Perfectly.
Yeah,
it's
such a weird word.
Say again?
It's such a weird word. Giub.
It is, but yeah. What happens when you become a saint. But no, Tom, congratulations on the success of the podcast, though. Really.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you so much to all of you. This wouldn't have been a success if it wasn't for people tuning in and checking it out and supporting on the Patreon, all of that stuff in order to make sure that I keep this going. So it's as much my effort as everyone else. So thank you. Thank you for that. Ted, do you have something you want to share?
Nothing major. Kind of piggyback off that comment of, as a newcomer, thankful to find a community like this. And on a side note, Pumpkin loved the jumpsuit, man. That got me laughing when I came on. And congratulations to Silas on the contest win.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Zombie Dude.
So you can typically chat with me in the Discord. Don't be afraid to mention me, especially if you're down for some 76. I typically stream and I do YouTube content, same stuff as like my username on Discord and here. Once I get my laptop all set up like properly, I'll start streaming some 76 if you're ever interested.
Awesome. Yeah. And if you are on the Discord and you want to just put something out there and be looking for people to play with. I know it happens on occasion, but feel free to chime in any of the, there's a whole 76 channel. You can even just say and I would state specifically, I'm on Xbox or I'm on PC or whatever. Anybody want to play and then shoot for maybe a few days out. Hey, let's plan a get together on Saturday or, whatever. That usually works better than just is anyone around right now? Because by the time people respond, it's probably too late. But to put this out there, if anyone wants to kind of head up a community get together, it's not really guilds or anything with 76, but feel free to take that on. It's a little more than I can manage. But if any of you are just oh yeah, I want to get a regular Xbox group together, feel free to head that up on the Discord. You have my blessing. Go for that. So thanks for joining us, Zombie Dude. All right, Willow, you stayed through the whole thing. You made it.
Yeah, if you couldn't tell by my voice, I'm from the UK. It's currently 20 past 3 in the morning. I need to be up for 6:30. So,
oh boy. Oh,
well, good luck for this.
Good luck tomorrow. Thank you for the sacrifice.
Yeah. Find me obviously on the Discord and the Patreon channels and stuff. Feel free to tag us or ping us even. You can find us on Instagram at IS0R3__. Yeah, that's about it.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time to join us and staying up late. I hope tomorrow isn't too terrible.
We'll see you tomorrow anymore. It's today.
Well, the rest of today. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us, man. All right. Nova, you've got stuff.
Yeah. Thanks for hosting this today. It was a lot of fun being on the podcast yet again. It's always a great time. I have a YouTube channel and a TikTok. It's just Supernova, capital SUPER, capital N, zero, capital V, capital A. Look for the golden retriever icon. I'm also on TikTok, and apparently I got a million views on one of my videos.
Wow.
about the T65, which just spontaneously, and all my other power armor videos got a ton of views too. I'm currently working on a resource war series, and I'm about to post the second episode of the Euro Middle East war. So I'll have that up probably tomorrow, and it's been really exciting. Besides that, I'm buying a house tomorrow. Well, I bought the house already. I'm getting the house tomorrow, though. So yay me! I won't be there very active for a while.
Well, congrats on the YouTube channel and congrats on the house. That's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Very cool. All
right, dude. It's overwhelmed.
Yeah. Good luck with everything. All right, Void. You have anything you want to share?
I'm on TikTok at the Avalanche Welder. I'm gonna start posting more stuff now that it's getting warmer out. I'll maybe finally be able to get under my truck. The transmission is finally getting replaced. I'm so happy.
Nice.
and I'm not really anywhere else. Discord, my DMs are always open if you need something.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us again. Good luck with the truck. Silas, it's you're up. And again, congratulations on the most predictions correct.
Yeah, I don't really have anything of importance to talk about, but just the usual. I'm on Discord if anyone needs anything, but that's about it.
Sounds good.
And thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for being here. AK Spartan, I know you got stuff.
Yeah. I am one of the hosts of the Elden Archives, which is the Elden Ring lorecast on the network. We just went over 20 episodes, or hit 20 episodes.
Nice.
So that was fun. That's been going well.
Yes.
And people can find that anywhere that they can find any of the other shows from the network. So that's pretty easy to do there. And outside of that, that's kind of my main thing. I've been playing, I'm about to finish getting all the achievements for Remnant 2. So that's been fun.
Wow. Yeah. And Elden Ring DLC coming out very soon.
That's kind of why I was trying to do the finish the Remnant stuff, because I'm not going to because we have 7 weeks, I think, before that Elden Ring DLC. And once that comes out, I'm not probably going to play anything else, because I'm assuming it's going to be, it's a $40 DLC. So it seems like it's going to be huge. And they've already said that the map is pretty much like, if anybody's played Elden Ring, for those who have played, they said that the DLC map is going to be about the size of Limgrave.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty big.
Yeah, so that's pretty big, but it's also going to be denser. So I'm thinking it's going to be a lot. I'm hoping it's going to be a lot.
Quick take. Mesmer is Melina?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay.
I don't think so on that one. But I think that a lot of the stuff that people were connecting to her speculation-wise probably connects to him instead. So I get why people are asking that.
Okay. Yeah, so there are some similarities there, but they aren't the same person like Radagon and what's-her-face, Marika.
Yeah, I don't personally think so, but I can see why people are asking.
Interesting. That. All right, we'll have to tune into your show and get more of your take once everything drops. Awesome. Well, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
And then Kylie, you're wrapping it up. Anything you want to share?
I don't have really much to share other than, me personally, I'm very early into, I'm transitioning to be a female. And
congratulations on that.
The only news I've got to really share is in about 2.5 weeks, I finally get to start my hormone treatment.
Wow.
And yeah,
I'm
looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm sure this is a big deal. I personally haven't gone through something like that myself, but I'm from what I can tell, that's really big news. I'm sure that's exciting and probably a little stressful and all of that. Is it going well?
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's going fine. Just starting to get things organized, going to be coming out to my work very soon to let them know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good luck with all of that. I hope it goes well. And
yeah.
And thanks for being here.
Yeah. Yeah. And keep up the podcast. I've been enjoying it the last two and a half weeks. I've only really gotten into it.
Yeah. Well, you're one of the new ones. So I'm glad you found it. I'm glad you're enjoying it. And thanks for joining us on the chat. I hope you all had a great time, and thank you for being here. And Willow's got a hand raised. One more thing from Willow.
I just want to say to Kylie, or Kaylee, however that's pronounced, I wish you a really happy transition. I know how difficult it is as a trans person myself. And I'm sending you all the love I can.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Good thoughts to everybody. Thank you for being here, everyone. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, the rest of the month. I look forward to chatting with you again next month, and be thinking about what the topic is going to be, because we have a new opportunity to talk about new things next month, and it's going to be exciting because, man, everything's happened. So much is happening with Fallout lately. This is a dream come true, and I'm excited. I know Todd was even saying they're trying to push out more Fallout content sooner than we would have expected. So that's exciting. This is just good news across the board. So I'm so glad that you are all here to enjoy this with me and to be part of the community and all of that. And everybody listening, thank you for being here. All right. That's going to do it for this week. Stay safe out there, and I'll see you next time. Bye, everyone. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.